Hello, friends. Because of some technical difficulty we had on Sunday, January 5th, I'm kind of redoing this as a podcast so that you can get the gist of the message, because I think it's important and it prepares you for the upcoming fast this coming Sunday, this 21-day Bread of His Presence fast. During that time, there's a couple things I want you to be aware of. For those of you who have the phone app, you'll be receiving some daily reflections, some things that have to do with your identity in Christ, and I trust you'll find them certainly encouraging. If you don't have the phone app, you have a few days now to get that downloaded from the App Store. I also want you to know that two other churches will be fasting along with our congregation, our partner church outside of Paris, France, as well as the Bridge Church, the college ministry down in Cullowhee at Western Carolina University. So let's remember them in prayer. The old-timers say, grab the horns of the altar and don't let go. That's kind of what this fast is all about. I want you to be able to differentiate between something common and something uncommon. And you and I are called to be uncommon. I want you to differentiate these next 21 days in your heart and in your mind, the difference between attending a church and being the church. I want you to think about the difference between being a member of a church and being a minister of the church. These are different things, that you're not embarking upon some sort of common diet of some kind, but you're much more embarking on something that's uncommon, sacred, a holy fast. And this is part of what Jesus said when he said, come follow me. We fast because he fasted. We fast because he assumed that we would. And that's exactly what we do. We have a biblical church. So what I want to do is I want to talk to you about finding over the next 21 days a prayer closet or a room or a closed place where you can be the most open. And I can't emphasize that enough. Find a closed place where you can be the most open. Open in your heart, your mind, open your Bible. Be open to the things that God has for you. I want you to have conversations with God during that time, during your fast, that have more depth to them than discussing the weather. A fast is a consecrated time. It's set apart to glorify him. And what we want to do is we want to have real conversations. We want to ask real questions. We want authentic answers. We want to confess. We want to repent. We want to be sensitive to what the Lord would have for us. We want to enjoy him. So in the spirit of finding a closed place where you can be open, I want to talk to you about something in antiquity, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle in the desert, this old-fashioned thing that I often wonder, how in the world do you communicate something that's made out of badger skins and all kinds of things like that in the desert thousands of years ago? And what relevance does that have today? Think about it. They had shofars back then. We have iPhone 11s. I mean, how do you make this connection between antiquity and modernity? How do we make this connection between that old-fashioned, old-school stuff and our modern scientific advancements, our sophistication, and our technology? There's a bridge that has to be made there, and I guess in part that's my job. It's my job to make that truth back way back when relevant to you now. Like, how does that truth of the tabernacle in the desert, one specific room of it anyway, really have anything to do with being a mom or a dad or a high school student or a teacher or a contractor or a real estate agent today? I mean, I'm going to try to bridge the gap between those two things with the Lord's help, because there's something there for you that will change your life. And if it'll change your life for the better, I want you to have it. In fact, I want to have it myself. All right, so I'm going to show you what could be possibly very relevant for you over the next 21 days and beyond as a new lifestyle, a new perspective, a new behavior. God has this ongoing challenge to reveal himself way back in the Garden of Eden to Abraham, to Moses, to Noah, to all these people. He's always having to reveal himself. And if you notice, when a new generation comes and people pass away, he's got to do the whole process all over again. So it's not the most efficient use of his time. So he's constantly revealing himself in a person's life and then to a group of people. But generation after generation, he's having to redo that effort, okay? So finally, he gets to the point where he says, listen, let's write this down, okay? I want you to write down exactly what I tell you to write down. I want you to preserve it and protect it. I want it to be accurate. I want you to read it to your, put it on the doorpost of your house, write it on the tablet of your heart, teach it to your children, Deuteronomy 6. I want you to have this. Do it exactly as I tell you. Why? I think because it's always there for each generation to read and understand the revelation of the heart of God, that he is slow to anger and that he is compassionate and he doesn't have our best interests in mind, okay? So of all the things that he asked them to write down specifically, it seems kind of boring, but nonetheless important. He tells them to make a tabernacle. What does that mean? It's a place where God dwells. And it is a mobile, if you came up in the Korean War, you know what I'm talking about, a mobile army surgical hospital, a MASH unit. In other words, it's a spiritual church on the move. It moves around the desert to different places, and it's always set up the same, exactly like God wanted to be set up. And all right, so what does that thing look like? Well, it's got a fence around it, and the fence is white. The fence represents righteousness. In other words, you can't cross that fence. You can't get over that fence because you're not righteous enough. So you have to go through the gate, not two gates, not three, one. There's only one gate on the eastern side, and you can only enter the tabernacle through that gate because you can't get over that white fence. You're not righteous enough. And who is that gate? That gate is Christ, we learn later. I am the way, he says, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except by me. So we enter this place of worship through Christ and his righteousness, not our own. And the first thing that you see when you get inside that outer court sort of represents the body, the physical being, is the brazen altar. What does that represent? That represents the crucifixion of Christ. So in the Old Testament, you slaughter lambs, and in the New Testament, the Lamb of God is crucified. So that's the brazen altar. 24/7, all the time. And then just beyond that was a laver of cleansing. What does that represent? Well, that's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. It's what keeps us going, what counsels us, energizes us, teaches us, instructs us, rebukes us, corrects us, inspires us, moves us forward. So empowers and strengthens us. So the work of, so you have the cross, you have the way, the brazen altar, the crucifixion, the work of the Holy Spirit, the labor of cleansing. Then you come across these two rooms. And the first room you come into is called the Holy Place. Now, the Holy Place has three items in it, I guess. Three pieces of furniture, if you will. They have the lampstand in there. They have the altar of incense. And they have the table of showbread. All right, well, let's talk about the Holy Place. The Holy Place is a room, I guess in our modern-day New Testament vernacular, we would call a prayer closet. So there you go. I want to encourage you to get a prayer closet over the next 21 days, a place where you go, where it's closed once you're in there, but you're open once you're in there too. It's a closed place with an open heart. That's your prayer closet. You see, fasting isn't just about not eating. It's actually about feasting. It's about feasting on the bread of life. It's about feasting on the Word of God. It's about feasting on prayer. It's about feasting on worship. This is going to be our fulfillment. This is going to be our sustenance over the 21 days. During the times that you're not eating certain foods or not eating food and just drinking, whatever the case may be, or it's some behavior, we're going to fill that void with God. There it is. That's what makes this fast sacred and holy and purposeful. What do you have if you just take away these enjoyable things in our life for a set period of time? We have someone who's trying to stand their ground, but if you don't seek the Lord, you're never standing on holy ground. So you're just standing your ground. It's an act of discipline. It's miserable is what it is. So a fast shouldn't be miserable. It'd be better if you just quit the whole thing if you're not going to seek the Lord in the middle of it. You're actually doing more damage to just withhold things from your life without replacing them with Christ. And this is something, it's a lesson that we need to learn, not just during the fast, but all the time. All right, so you have this holy place. It's a prayer closet, and you go in there, okay? So that's so far what we ascertained about this room. And then once you go in there, you see there's three things in there. There's a lampstand. It has six branches and seven candles, all right? And for that room, once you're closed in there, it's the source of illumination, right? I mean, if the lampstand's not in there, you're in darkness. And what is darkness? The darkness is the absence of light. So the lampstand is an illumination. It's a revelation. It's what gives you clarity. So it what gives you clarity in life and direction and decision making. And it's the sense source of warmth that you have in your life. So in a prayer closet, and if you're going to take this metaphor to its nth degree during the fast, you're going to go in there in a closed place, be most open what God has for you, and he's going to be your illumination. He's going to give you direction in life if you seek him during that fast, because your sensitivity to his presence is going to be heightened as you fast. Now, what's the source? What's the source of that illumination? Well, the source of that illumination is oil, representing what? The Holy Spirit. So the warmth and the direction and the clarity of your life comes by way of the Spirit. All right, so that's the first thing that we know is relevant to us. We need to live a life, the illumination of God, a place where we go in and we're open to what he has for us. All right, there it is. Second thing you notice that's in there is an altar of incense. Now, this admittedly is odd. It's a table covered in gold. It's acacia wood covered in gold. And there's fresh oil in the lamp, and there's fresh incense in the altar of incense. And it's pure. It's not common incense. It's pure. It's purified. It's the best. It's choice. And these priests will go in and replenish the oil so the lampstand will keep burning, and they'll replenish the incense so the incense will keep burning. So you got this... Well, you got this fragrance coming in. This room is full of fragrances. And this room is also next to the Ark of the Covenant, the presence, the most holy place. So when you go into the most holy place, you have to first go into the holy place. So why is this relevant for us? We've got to find that place of prayer in our life where we go that's as close to and is an entree into the manifest presence of God. So we need his illumination, his warmth, and his incense. Revelation 5 and 8 says, "And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people." That's pretty cool to me. When the day comes, when you enter into heaven, one of the first things you'll notice, besides the light show, the weightiness and the glory of the presence of God, is this fragrance. I anticipate it being the most beautiful thing, the most beautiful aroma. And you'll have to ask yourself the question, did I add to this fragrance in my life, or did I maybe even spoil it? Did I withhold a fragrance? Did I contribute to, or was I a detriment to, the fragrance in heaven? In other words, are you a man of prayer? Are you a woman of prayer? The kind of prayer that has a fragrance about it, as far as God's concerned. The kind of prayer that fills heaven, impacts heaven, has a distinctiveness to it. It's different than common, ordinary, superficial conversation. It's prayer full of adoration and worship, exaltation, magnification, supplication. It's honest, it's true. It can be words of frustration, words of joy, words of concern, but they're all honest, they're all authentic, and they're far beyond a conversation about the weather. That's what happens in that holy place. Under the illumination and warmth of the Spirit, you and I are called in a holy fast to consecrate ourselves and be the men and the women of prayer that God has called us to be, as close to the manifest presence of God as one can get. That's the table. That's the altar of incense and the lampstand. Then you have this third odd, admittedly odd thing going on. It's called the table of showbread. Leviticus 24, 5, 6, and 7 reads like this. "Take the finest flour, ordinary flour, the finest flour, and bake 12 loaves of bread." What? I can even smell it. It smells like a bakery in New York City to me. "Take the finest flour and bake 12 loaves of bread, using 2/10 of an ephah for each loaf." Very specific. "Arrange them in two stacks, 6 in each stack, and on the table of," not gold, "pure gold." In other words, bring the best. Bring what you got before the Lord, because it's going to sit before the Lord as an offering. It's going to sit in the presence of God, and you want your best. That's why when you enter that room over the next 21 days, hopefully multiple times a day, you bring your best. You bring what is choice. You prepare to enter the room, and you prepare to leave the room different than when you entered it. pure gold. By each stack put some pure incense, not common, as a memorial portion to represent the bread to be a food offering presented to the Lord. Okay, so this is an act of worship. The bread is to be set out before the Lord regularly, Sabbath after Sabbath, every Friday, on behalf of the Israelites as a lasting covenant. It belongs to Aaron and his sons. In other words, the bread belongs to the priest, and they're allowed to eat it. Oh, by the way, you're a priest of the Most High God, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a people set unto God. That bread's for you. There is a bread available to you, spiritually speaking, in a place of prayer that takes a fast, transform it from a miserable act of abstention to a fulfilling, gracious, celebratory union with the Most High God. That's where you want to go. You want the bread of his presence to be your strength, your nourishment, your sustenance. You want to be preoccupied with him. You want him in a fast to be your, you want to crave him, not food. You want to crave his bread, not your own. You want him to be your sense of fullness, satisfaction. You want him to be, draw you with his fragrance, okay? You want God, I want God to be my nourishment. That's the goal here. To turn from the worldly things, the physical things, and turn to the spiritual things for a set period of time, whereby we make him the number one thing. As a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longeth after me. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Whoever is thirsty, come unto me, and I will give you living water. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. John 6 and 35 says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The scripture says, be holy because I am holy. This 21 days is an opportunity for you to rest, for your body to rest, for your body to be restored, for you to clean house physically, emotionally, and spiritually. This is a time set apart for you to be called not to an aimlessness, but to fix your eyes on him, the author and perfecter of your faith. This is an uncommon time, not a common time. He becomes now your hiding place, not your words, not your fantasies, not your behavior, not your vices, not your go-tos and the way you think and speak, not your reactiveness. He now becomes your hiding place. And that's what that room's about. To shelter in place for 21 days. I want you to think about the opportunity that you have and be a good steward of it. Each of you will grow over this time in one way, shape, or form if we pray, if you get in that prayer closet and let him illuminate your heart and mind. Let him warm you to himself and to what he has for you, that you could be fragrant offering before him and that he would be your nourishment. This is a fast. This is a sacred and holy fast. Three churches at one time, seeking God, praying one for the other, enjoying his fellowship, and filling heaven with a fragrance of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. There it is. The most holy place is just past the curtain, right next to the table with the bread. It's the nearest, it's the place nearest to the heart of God. It's the Ark of the Covenant. It's the law of God. It's the mercy seat. It's the priesthood and Aaron's staff that budded. It is the heaviness and the weightiness and the glory of the presence of God, of the very presence that he wants to make known to you and at the end of your bed or in your automobile or in your heart or in your favorite chair with your Bible in your lap in the middle of the night. What will take place the next 21 days as you seek him that he may be found, when he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? What will happen? Maybe this seemingly strange description of a room in the middle of a desert, some of which you'll never see, never visit, could actually be relevant for a mom or a dad, a teenager or contractor, a real estate agent, or a teacher in this day and age. Maybe it's time for a shofar and time to put our cell phone down and bask in and soak in the presence of God, or at least desire to, and have him meet you where you are. This is a fast. Does every church fast? No. Do some churches that fast miss the point? Yes. Are we going to do so? I hope not. You are bought with a price and destined to enjoy his presence over the next 3 weeks. Make it something attainable, reasonable, balanced, without condemnation, that's full of liberty, that's full of smiles, ever so satisfying, ever so sweet, ever so savory, and ever so fulfilling. This is my prayer for you, that your love would abound in more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that your home would become a holy place that has access through the blood of Christ to the most holy place, and that you'll take serious this sacredness of this call to sit and bask in his presence and glorify him in word and in deed, and on the 22nd day be different than you've ever been before for the journey. Beware of legalism, religious traps, and opportunities to condemn oneself, and be open to him and his sustenance, his nourishment, and the bread of his presence. God bless you. God bless you. Who are you fasting before? Think about this. You may not feel like it later, but think about it now. Before whom are you fasting? Who is enjoying your prayer? Who is listening to your worship? Who is strengthening you to continue to worship because he knows that you need to? Who is doing that? Isaiah put it this way. I saw the Lord high and lifted up and seated on a throne. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings, they covered their faces. With 2, they covered their feet. And with 2, they were actually flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." And the whole earth was full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook. And the temple was filled with smoke. This is no game. Know to whom you are before when you pray and you worship, and do so for an audience of one. And in your emptiness, may you be the most fulfilled. Bless you for your obedience to walk in the counsel of the Word of God. Until Sunday, we'll see you then.